Well, today we have one of the most interesting and one of the neatest miracles that the Lord did. This was the curing of the paralytic who was lowered in front of him through the roof of the house. It says the Lord was preaching and teaching in this particular home, and it was jam-packed. It says the Pharisees, the teachers, and a huge crowd was gathered around this home. And evidently, the four men came by carrying their friend on the stretcher. They heard that the Lord was there, and they said they wanted to get him in to see the Lord. Well, it was so jam-packed, they couldn't get in the front door, they couldn't get in any of the windows, but they persevered. They used their creativity, their initiative, their imagination, and they figured, well, let's go around to the back of the house. So they go and they find the steps that would lead up onto the roof. And so they carry this fellow up there. They begin to dig through the mud and the straw, and they eventually get that off. They go through the tiles. They take off the tiles. It must have been quite an event if you're inside there with the Lord. You know, you hear, what is that? What's up on the roof? You know, there's a lot of footsteps up there. Was it a Santa Claus or something up there? And all of a sudden, you know, the light begins to shine through, and all this mud and straw and dust is falling upon them. But it must have been an incredible sight to see. And all of a sudden, you see this man being lowered down into the home. And I often wonder what the owner of the house did. I wonder, you know, what about homeowners insurance? Does that cover torn up roofs? Who knows? So it's an incredible sight. And the Lord looks up and he sees these four men up there lowering their friend on the rope. And he sees this paralyzed man. And the scripture says, Jesus saw their faith. It doesn't say anything about the faith of the paralyzed man. It says, Jesus saw the faith of the friends. He saw the faith of the guys up there. And he saw their faith. And then he turned to this paralyzed man and said, your sins are forgiven. See, perhaps this man just wanted to be healed physically. He got a lot more. He was healed spiritually. He got his sins forgiven. People say, well, what kind of sins can a paralyzed man commit, right? Well, there's all sorts of sins. You have sins of the mind, sins of the heart, sins of the word, right? A person can still use God's name in vain, or maybe they can still lie, or maybe he could have, you know, impatience or greed or lust in his heart. Who knows? He might have had a whole host of sins. Well, the Lord, again, he sees the faith of the friends, and he goes and forgives this man's sins. Well, when people hear this, the scribes and the Pharisees begin to think in their hearts, who can forgive sins but God alone? This man is blaspheming. Jesus, of course, can read their hearts. He can read their souls and say, well, what would be easier for me to cure him physically or spiritually? What should I say? Rise and walk, or your sins are forgiven? To prove to you that I, the Son of Man, have authority on earth to forgive sins, I will now cure his body. So he says to the man, rise and walk. So the Lord now performs a visible miracle to show he had the power to perform the invisible miracle, which is the forgiveness of this man's sins. Again, it's a beautiful gospel because we have Jesus now working a visible cure to show that he had already cured the man invisibly, spiritually, by forgiving his sins. And then he says to the man, stand up and rise and walk. Pick up your stretcher and go home. And this paralyzed man picked up his stretcher, put it under his arm, and the crowd parted, and the crowd parted. He walked out the door, and everybody began praising God at this great physical cure. And yet, they objected to the forgiveness of sins because they felt only God alone can forgive sins. So Jesus is saying here that yes, he is God. He is the Son of Man. He is the Son of God. And he proved that he could forgive sins by healing this man physically. So what can we learn from this really touching and this beautiful story? First, the value of friendship, right? It's called the apostolate of friendship. If you want to bring somebody back to church or get them back to the practice of their faith, make friends with them. Friendship. And then Once you're friends with them, then you can lead them closer to God, the apostolate of friendship. And I'm sure that each of us has in our lives people that are spiritually paralyzed, right? They're paralyzed. They can't get themselves to church, maybe emotionally or physically. So our job is to get them to church, bring them to confession, bring them to Mass. Now, sometimes that might be too much for people. So bring them to a social event at the church, maybe a party or a dance or breakfast with Santa or a gala or a golf tournament. Start with something that you can get their foot in the door, right? So you have paralyzed friends in your life. They're away from church, away from confession, 10, 20, 30 years. Maybe they're not Catholic. Bring them along. Be like those friends who persevered. And that's the next thing we should remember, is how great faith these people had. They said if they could only get him in front of Jesus, he would be cured. And they persevered, and they used their creativity and ingenuity and persistence. And this man got what he wanted. He was cured physically, but he even got a greater blessing. He was cured spiritually. He left with his sins forgiven.